Dunavant is a family-owned business that has the knowledge to ensure global and domestic shipping practices are efficient and effective. Dunavant generates supply chain proficiency with outstanding, attentive, and expedient customer service. For more information, visit dunavant.com.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome to Matt Gaines. I'm your host, Cassandra Gaines. We are here. It is Friday. It is a beautiful day out, y'all. I'm in Atlanta and the sun is out. It's May. I'm so excited. Okay, hold on. I'm not done opening my wine bottle because this is what happened. I was on Slack arguing with the Boiler Room boys over something that shouldn't be arguing. And then they made me late, or I made myself late. And I can't make fun of them on the show too much, you guys, today, because, and for those of you who don't know, this is a production team. I call them the Boiler Room Boys. I love them dearly, as I love Freight Waves, but I love to pick on them because I get bored with life. So anyhow, we had our event in Arkansas. It was our Freight Waves event, and everybody was there. If you were on social media, you probably got a lot of FOMO, which you deserved because I told you to be there. There's going to be another one in Chattanooga. I think there might be another one in Atlanta coming up. So you need to pay attention to Freight Waves conferences because they're worth your time. Everybody was there. I made business there. Everybody did work. But the production team did a lot of work. They were very busy. And so I can't pick on them too much today. We have to be nice to them today. Next week, we will pick on them heavily when they're refreshed and ready to go. So today we are talking about non-competes. I'm letting y'all roll in because I know it's a big crowd. Y'all on Freight Waves TV, you should be listening. If I get cut off, just know that Freight Waves will upload the rest of the video and recording because we only get like a half an hour slot. So they'll upload the rest of the discussion later on. You can see the full discussion. So don't get frustrated if the live feed is cut off. We have a big discussion to have today. So this is what happened. I come back. I'm excited. I'm energized from the Freight Waves event and feeling really good. Saw all my friends, saw the beautiful conference room, everything. And what I get is a bunch of people telling me that there are employers in Chicago who are surprising their current employees with non-compete agreements. So whether they're saying, hey, we're going to give you some stock, here's this secret non-compete provision written into the stock, or hey, we're just making every employee who's at a certain level or every employee in general re-sign this. And oh, thank you, Boiler Room Boys. Oh God, I'm so glad they're paying attention today because I'm a hot mess. So I posted it on LinkedIn. I said, today I learned that a company in Chicago is surprising employees with mandatory non-competes. So this happened to me once, y'all. And I'm very passionate about non-compete discussion. Me, even as a lawyer, when I worked for a very large company, they approached me and said, you know, you did a great job. You have excellent performance. Here is your stock. Here's your financial bonus. And then as you all should be aware, whenever you receive stock, you're going to get an agreement and you're going to read through the agreement. And I want you to tell you that it will have a non-compete in there. And that's what happened to me. And it was a really bad outcome. And it was very, very sad for an amazing employer that I worked for. So it's always really an emotional topic for me. And that's why I do so many episodes on this, because so many people do not understand this discussion. And there are comments that I gave to the Boiler Room Boys to show you guys, for example, Jim Quinn. And he said, it doesn't matter how enforceable the non-compete is. I think this is gold, this comment. It doesn't matter how enforceable the non-compete is. It's the chilling effect on the employee and or the prospective employer that causes the damage, which is the whole point. The merits or legality of the agreement are moot, given that the young or even mid-career brokers can't afford to pay for litigation. Jim Quinn from the Gilbert Company has really hit this issue on the head, because at first you'll see people, they'll be like, oh, those aren't enforceable. Or, oh, and I saw some things that were just dead wrong on my feed. But you'll see people say things. And what Jim had said is so true, because what happens? Here's what a non-compete means, y'all. A non-compete means that you have agreed that when you are fired or you quit or you're laid off from the current employer, you cannot work for their competitor. in some of these agreements, and I'll show you in a little while, but some of these agreements are really broad. So let's go to Mike Bush's comment because it made me really laugh. It's the third image, and it says, "Next Trucking is hiring," you know, in case anyone declines a non-compete, which he brings up. I love Mike Bush. You guys, Next Trucking is based out of California. They are a really, really great company. They're a beta user of my company, which is Carrier Assure. They are so savvy. So if you are looking for a new job, that is a great company, along with many other, like Next Exit Logistics was on there. Steam was on there. So, but what he's illuminating is what an interesting time to force people to sign a document when they can leave right now. They have the power to leave. Here's Jeff Beckham. He's the next image. It says, partner, he's at Kingsgate Logistics, another really great brokerage, one of my favorites. So hell yes, he says, just say no. Here's a novel idea. How about creating a work environment where no one wants to leave? Call Brian Redden, 100%. Brian Redden is the attorney that I recommended to everybody who has this problem. So what I'm trying to illuminate to you guys is that this is not just a hot topic for me. It is for our industry, and it's a big problem. So imagine yourself. You're this employee and you've been working for this company for a while, and they come to you and they say, you have to sign this agreement and you have to agree or we will fire you, that if you leave our company or you're fired from our company, don't forget about that, that you can't work for one of our competitors. For those of you who are maybe 23 to 25, you're new in this industry, or you don't fully understand what would happen, I'll tell you what will happen. Which is, you can't work for a competitor, and not because maybe the agreement's enforceable or not agreement, it's not enforceable. It's mostly because you could get sued along with your new employer, for the new employer for even hiring you. And that's terrifying. And it's a bad experience to go through. So I'm going to bring on an expert in just a minute. I have a couple more points that I want to make about this topic before we bring on our expert and our recruiting expert who's going to talk to us about the industry and what she does when she sees this happen to employees. But first, let's talk about one thing, which is when I reach out to my friends and I say, have you signed a non-compete? Most of them say, I don't know. And that's terrifying to me. That's terrifying. It should be terrifying to them. I don't know if they're terrified yet, but when something goes wrong, they'll be terrified. And this happens because these agreements and these terms are kind of, they're like little snuck right into your onboarding paperwork. They're snuck into something that is so dense, some document you sign that's so dense, you can't even find the terms. Or you got your stock and you agreed electronically to all these terms and it was in there as well. So you could have a non-compete agreement and terms without even knowing. So what I did was, and why this has all come up as a hot topic, just so you know, Four Kites, not long ago, sued Project 44 for hiring two of Four Kites' former employees. And Four Kites said to Project 44, if you don't fire them, we're going to sue you. And then they did sue them and tried to say that these employees that left our company signed a non-compete agreement, they're not allowed to go work for Project 44. And Project 44 defended those employees and were successful for that lawsuit. And what happens is that now many Chicago employers and Illinois employers are revisiting the terms of their non-compete because they see that Four Kites may not win in the future with these non-competes. So what I did was I went into the docket, the Cook County Court docket, and I pulled the public document, the non-compete. And if anybody wants it, just email me and I'll send it to you. It's public. You can't get in trouble for having it. You can read through the complaint and all the documents. You can read through the agreement yourself if you want, or you can just go to Cook County Court and pull it yourself. So the next image I want our amazing Boiler Room Boys to show is what to look for. And I'm showing you this so you know exactly what to look for when you get one of these documents or you look through all your past documents. Look for the words non-compete, of course, but it's not always going to be labeled as a non-compete. Look for something that says similar to these words. I'm not going to read this whole thing. You can see it. But in the beginning, it says during the term of your employment and for a period of 12 months following the termination of employment, which means we can be fired with cause, you can fire without notice, anything. You cannot work for an employer in any capacity, even says indirectly in there. You cannot work, be a consultant, You can't be a partner. You can't own a little bit of that company. Nothing. Can't own more than 5%. You cannot work for the competitors. And that's what this agreement is going to, many of these agreements is going to say. Sometimes don't just look for the title, look for what the actual terms say. If you find yourself, like, it's very difficult to read and understand whether that's what you're agreeing to, because look at the next term, the next image. It carries on and on, and it says a bunch of things. You see part A, part B, part D. Look for these or something similar. I want you to know that you are not alone. These are very difficult to understand, and you should never try to understand them on your own. So I want you to reach out to Brian Redden. He's an attorney. Reach out to me if you need his information. You can reach out to any attorney, by the way, but Brian Redden is usually my go-to because he's experienced in our industry and he understands this issue. He's fluent with it. He doesn't get money from me. I don't get money from him. None of that stuff. He's just my friend, and I trust him. So reach out to me if you need his information. The next image is one more that I'm going to show you because I want you to know this was from Four Kites agreement that their employees signed. And this is fucking dirty. I'm just going to say it's dirty. So what it says is, in further, I acknowledge that in the event my employment terminates for any reason, I acknowledge that I will be able to earn a living without violating the foregoing restrictions. And I'll be able to earn a livelihood without violating these restrictions. And I agree that if there's irreparable injury to the company, which is Four Kites, resulting from a breach of this termination, that they will be entitled to an injunction, which means a court order, among other things, that will restrain me from continuing that employment. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but what it's saying here is that you're basically agreeing contractually and cannot make the argument to the court that you can't make a livelihood with this agreement in place. You've just agreed and foregone that argument. So if you want to tell a judge, hey judge, I can't make a living. This is the transportation industry. This is all I've ever known. I have to go into some sales job and make $25,000, $30,000 a year and start all over again because this is my expertise. You can't make that argument anymore. You contractually agreed to let it go. Whether that's enforceable or not is a whole nother reason. So I do these episodes a lot so that y'all can understand. And if you could show the next image too, I just gave you another little title. This is a weird word I want you to look for. Employee restrictive covenants. Look for that word covenant. Old word. We use it still, which means there are things you're forbidden from doing. Look for that too to see if that's in your document. And the reason why I'm illuminating this is because every single time I talk to somebody or post about these non-compete terms, in social media or just having a conversation, people say things to me like, oh, that's not enforceable in my state. Yes, it is. And there's no blanket states. They could have a financial restriction, or something like that, but you still have to litigate that, which will cost you money, a lot of money. All right. I'm going to bring on a recruiting expert whom I love. Her name is Charlie. I have a feeling that the Boiler Room Boys are going to also love her. Similar to Beth Howard, she will become one of the favorites of the show, and they'll want her on instead of me, which is okay. But let's bring her on and talk to her about what's going on. Charlie, thank you for joining us so much. I know I asked you last minute. I just heard about this issue going on, and I really wanted to get a show going for those who need the education and need the resources as well. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me. And I think the Boiler Room Boys are doing pretty good today with all those visuals.
I know. They were rocking it. And, you know, it's Friday, and they're exhausted. And they're like, oh, God, Cassandra, thanks for giving us the boring-ass contract visuals that we have to flip through constantly. I owe them a lot of beer, Charlie. I keep telling them I'm going to buy them rounds of drinks.
You're going to have to pay them back.
Yeah, for sure. So for those of us, for those very few people who do not know you, because I feel like everybody does and everybody goes to you for help when they're looking for jobs, but could you explain a little bit about you, your company, anything else you think we need to know, and I know you're a TIA member. I just saw you there. It was great to see you. But just give us a nice little summary. So those who don't know you can say hello and they'll know who to reach out to.
Sure. So I'm Charlie Safro. I'm in Chicago. I am the founder and president of CS Recruiting, and we are a third-party recruiting firm that specializes in logistics, supply chain, and transportation. So we recruit all over North America, but really focus on positions that somehow touch the supply chain or have logistics, transportation, decision-making. And very relevant to the show, I will tell you I've been doing this for about 12 years, and the topic of non-competes, non-solicits are a thorn in my side. So I'm really excited to talk about this with you.
Yeah. They're painful. They really are painful. Yeah. I want, so I want everybody, oh, and I just want to double check because sometimes I forget. Okay. You guys, Jay-Z's in the house on YouTube. Josh Kale is in the house. Charles Long, Abby's here. You guys, Jod Radvansky, I always mess up. John, I always mess up your last name. I'll get it one day. Welcome to the show. We're excited to have you. I'm keeping an eye. So if you have questions for Charlie, you can put them on YouTube or LinkedIn. Charlie, tell me, you're in Chicago. I did send some of my friends your way who are dealing with this non-compete situation. To first tell us, how's in general, how is the market looking for those looking for jobs and for employers looking for employees? What's kind of like a summary of what do we need to know?
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't heard, there is a crazy demand for talent, especially in our industry and really especially in just the logistics and transportation provider segment. There is not a great supply of talent. And there's a couple of reasons for that. When we talk about the supply, we're talking about candidates that are qualified, so they meet the criteria that the company is looking for. We're talking about candidates that are interested in your position, so they have a lot of options right now. It's a saturated market. You've got to stand out. And then to this topic, we're talking about candidates that legally can come work for your company. So the supply of eligible candidates is just nowhere near the demand right now. And that's causing just an imbalance in the market. And yeah, these non-competes definitely get in the way.
Yeah, they do. And so what, and oh, by the way, I forgot to say, for those, I forgot to start off. Okay. First of all, do you see, I'm not wearing a band shirt today, y'all. I'm wearing this beautiful swag I got. You can't really see it because I'm moving around a lot, but I want everybody to know Justin Hall just announced that he's CEO of Primo. I'm out of Florida. It's a brokerage out of Florida. It looks like it's going to be very unique. Go visit them at their website. Go look for Justin Hall. But he gave me this cool swag. Maybe he'll send the Boiler Room Boys some swag. I bet he will. We should have them have swag and then get a picture with all of them on it.
Yeah.
There we go. Justin, come on now, Justin. Get us all some swag because Primo is going to be a very exciting company we're all going to keep an eye on. And you probably could use Charlie's services as you're growing the company anyhow. Charlie, how are you addressing when someone comes to you and they say, I have a non-compete, Charlie, what do I do?
Great question. And we hear it from both sides. We hear it from candidates that are job seekers and also hiring companies. And I think every single person on our team has been trained to say, we're not attorneys, so we can advise you to a point, but we suggest you check with your counsel because we really want to just maintain where we're experts and where we're not. And reading legal documents is probably my least favorite thing to do, although I do it a lot. So we always advise them to talk to counsel. But I would say, you know, being in this industry for 12 years, we are very educated. We probably have a copy of almost every employment agreement out there, and we know how to categorize them, which ones are, you know, just simple employment agreements, which ones have confidentiality only, which ones have non-compete, and which ones have non-compete and non-solicit, or just a non-solicit. So we're informed. You hit on so many good points before I came on that, you know, the number one thing we realize is that so many of these candidates don't know what they signed. And we find ourselves educating them when they tell us they work at a company, but they don't think they signed anything. And we know for a fact
we already know this company requires everybody to sign it. And the employees, like, I bet their heart just drops. They're like, oh my God, what did I do?
And you hit on all those points. It's like you are 22 years old. You're excited that you just got a job. You show up day one. You're given this employment agreement that they want you to sign on the spot. And you just kind of skim over the language and trust that you're in their best interest, and you're not. So until, not even until you prove yourself, when you sign that, you are bound to golden handcuffs, really.
Oh my gosh. And so, first of all, I was surprised by Project 44. I mean, I'm not surprised. I guess I am surprised because usually, did I freeze? Oh my goodness, I froze. Is it Frey Frey? Mm-hmm. Frey Frey, are you turning off my mic or freezing me again? I could see it already. Well, I'll keep talking. Hopefully you can still hear me, Fraser. Hopefully it's not my internet, but I want to make sure that, you know, I was impressed that Project 44 went to bat for their employees, because that's pretty difficult to do. What happens, for those of you who don't know, is that when the employee starts the job and they're all excited, let's say it's a couple weeks in, and their former employer finds out that they have and they are working for a competitor, the former employer sometimes sends a nasty letter saying, if you don't fire this employee for violating their non-compete, we will sue you. And the employer at that moment in time decides, am I going to invest in this employee and defend them and fight and pay for counsel, which is about, I mean, it could range from $10,000 to $30,000 alone for the first like 4 months of litigation. Do I want to fight and defend them, or do I want to let them go? True story, you guys, the employer will actually do like an ROI, return on investment analysis on you. How much money are you going to bring in? What's the market look like? Like, it's a full analysis that they do. On whether they want to fight this or do they want to just terminate you, which in a good market for employers where there are a lot of employees available, they often will just terminate you and you're without a job. I mean, you might as well go and work at In-N-Out or whatever. So just keep that in mind for those of you who know. I just noticed that John Radvansky, he said he usually goes by Radman. I love that, John. That is brilliant. Recreate it. Absolutely love that. So Charlie, tell me, what does it look like? I got an offer from, you know, Cassandra Logistics, and I'm really excited. And let's flip it around a little bit. Let's completely flip it around, because we only have a few minutes left. I want to say, let's say Cassandra Logistics is upfront and says, you have to sign a non-compete when you come on board. Do you help people negotiate? What's your like tips? Obviously you're not a lawyer and whatnot, but what are your tips of how people can handle that situation?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different ways to approach it, whether you are presented with a non-compete on day one or like the situation in Chicago you were talking mm-hmm. about after you've been tenured. So I think the first opportunity is to negotiate. And my suggestions there would either be strike the clause altogether. That's ideal. Maybe compromise and say you can keep the non-solicit, which is usually very fair, but strike the true non-compete mm-hmm. portion. At a very minimum, make sure that if you sign that non-compete, there is compensation for you during that period of time that you're unemployed. So that is, and you can tell me, Cassandra, how
yep,
you guys.
That is gold right there. That is absolute gold right there. Because what she's saying is that when you've been fired or when you quit, there's going to be a time period. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It could be 2 years where you can't work in our industry. If you could get some compensation for that time period, that's really good if you're able to do that. I haven't seen, like, that's a tough negotiation. Does it work, Charlie? Like, what's like 1 out of 10? 2 out of 10?
The good news is we see a lot of agreements that do position it that way, that in the event that you leave, you're technically getting a severance for staying bound to that non-compete, not causing any issues, not, you know, racking up any legal counsel charges. But I think that's a bare minimum and kind of goes back to what you talked to. This mm-hmm. is their livelihood. This is what they know and do. So if I cannot go get another job in my area of expertise, I need to be compensated to either start over in another industry or simply sit out and take this time out. So three opportunities to negotiate, get the clause removed, get compensation, or just stick to the non-solicit. Option four is go work somewhere else. And I hate to say it, if you like your employer and like your situation, but unfortunately you have to look out for yourself. And sometimes it's a scare tactic, but sometimes that scare tactic, you know, they have more money than you, they have counsel, and it works. So employees just need to know what
that's
they're agreeing
exactly
to.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want you ever to listen to anybody out there who's listening to us now. I don't want you to listen when an employer tells you, but we've never enforced these. We don't do this. We've never in our history. Do not believe that. Why even have us sign it? And so for those of you, when we cut off the feed, I want you to know that we just have to do that because we have other shows and whatnot. And the Boiler Room Boys are so sick of me. But if we go over, it will be available on freightwavestv.com. But I want you to know that the employer could change management, could be bought out by somebody. You could piss somebody off and they could decide to enforce the agreement entirely. So Andrew Teal asks a great question. Can I make a company sign a non-compete, fire me, or I quit and my company can't replace me? I don't think that that's a, I think he's just kidding, but I love it when he turns it on another company. You can't replace me. That position has to be held open. That is really funny, Andrew Teal.
Sorry, one other thought, and I'm curious if you've ever seen this. Sometimes we will see, or this is a point of negotiation, a non-compete that simply restricts someone to working for 10 different companies, and they'll list those companies that are generally like their biggest threat or their top competitors. Those I can stomach a little more because there's still other opportunities. They're not totally restrictive on continuing your career, or companies that have like maybe a shipper that has a brokerage and you can start on the shipper side and, you know, maybe get into to something really non-conflicting. You're a buyer and then maybe you do go over to the brokerage when that non-compete expires.
Yeah, that's great advice. Two other things I want people to know that you can do if you're sitting there right now and your employer's passed that non-compete to you, you busted them in their paperwork that you saw it was in there. Here's the other thing too. I had a really good friend tell me this actually, which is negotiate, see if you can narrow the terms, try to narrow the duration. Some people have like Four Kites had 1 year, 12 months, try to narrow it to 3 months or 6 months. And then the other piece is look for a list of companies. Say, well, I'm not going to agree to every employer in the world across the country in our industry. How about you just give me your list of your top 10 companies you do not want me to work for? Try to narrow that a little bit to make it a little bit more fair. Charlie, do you have any other thoughts for us or is there anything I'm missing that you want to add before we go?
No, I mean, I think you covered on one really important myth that a lot of candidates will call us and say, well, I was fired, so it doesn't hold up. It only holds up if you quit. It holds up if you were an employee at that company.
Regardless.
So, yeah, I mean, whether it's an acquisition, whether it's a round of layoffs, whether your performance, it will hold up. And again, it's a scare tactic, but you have to be mindful of what you signed.
Yeah. And even if you think, oh, it's not, I just Googled it, it's not going to hold up, know that even by law, if it doesn't hold up, you've got to fight it. You've got to pay that $10,000 to $30,000 for a lawyer to go and defend you. And it's a big mess. And it takes a very long time. It's not quick, y'all. It's a very long time. So of fighting this stuff. So keep it in mind. Charlie, thank you for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
No, I was going to say, the only other
thing
to say, just to touch on this real quick, is the state of California. And I don't know what your opinion is on that, but they seem to be a lot more on the employee side and put the non-competes aside usually.
Yep, that's a good point. And I think there are a couple other, Washington may be one of them. There are a few others. But again, I don't want anybody to start making assumptions because you can be sued for anything. So I take the default of I'm going to get sued. It's enforceable until someone says it's not. Charlie, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. And to everybody else, you have my contact information. If you need to reach out to Charlie, she's on LinkedIn. She's everywhere. You can reach out to me and I'll get you in touch with her. Have a great weekend. Happy Freight Friday.